Senator present, Senator Torkelson, Senator Ostman, Senator Phillips is chair. We have one bill before our committee. It's the intent of the chair to hold this bill because we have a few amendments and some major items to discuss as a committee. But we have before us the Senate Bill 66, Act Relating to Authorization of State Institutions and Relating to Confidential Financial Records of Depositors and Customers of Certain Financial Institutions Relating to the Alaska Banking Code, Mutual Savings Bank, Alaska Small Loans Act, and the Alaska Credit Union Act. Inside the packet, we have a letter transmittal from the governor's, who is the sponsor of the legislation, plus four amendments by the Department of Community and Economic Development, some letters of support, and a zero fiscal note, plus this gray booklet. So I want to make sure that all the members have the information before. Okay, Terry, you're on for Senate Bill 66.
Oh, right. Time that
I'm weak today.
Let the record show that Senator Davis is also present, so that's four out of five. Identify yourself for the record and affiliation, and we're also on teleconference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Terry Elder. I'm Director of the Division of Banking Securities and Corporation in the Department of Community and Economic Development. I appreciate your scheduling the Senate Bill 66 to begin the hearing process today. We understand that there will be a number of people that will want to give their opinions on various sections of the bill at different times, and so we appreciate your starting this process. I'll give you a very fast overview and maybe just hit a couple of what we consider sort of the highlights. And Terry Lutz is here also. He's the supervisor of our banking section, so if there are any questions of a technical nature, I might need to call on Terry. The bill before you is, in general, has a couple of objectives. One is to remove the differences in the current statutes from state law and federal law as provided under Gramm-Leach-Bliley. Gramm-Leach-Bliley was a federal law that was enacted to allow banks and insurance companies and securities firms to combine in offering financial services. And so there are prohibitions in the banking code, for example, against certain insurance activities that we need to delete. There's also the creation of a new type of holding company called a financial holding company under the federal law, and this bill would provide that also in state law, so that our banks and credit unions can take full advantage of the federal law under Gramm-Leach-Bliley. Another important objective is to remove what we would consider any unnecessary burdens on the industry. For example, the requirement for interstate national banks to get a certificate or a permit from us to branch into the state. We don't see that as necessary since we don't have the authority to examine those national banks, and so we simply require them to give us under this bill a notice. Also, automated teller machines. Under current statute, the department has to approve those, and we're proposing that be changed so that it's only a notice to the department rather than an approval process. Then, in addition, there are a few sections in here that we have put in discussing with specific entities of the state chartered financial institutions in order to correct some problems that they see in current statute. The sections I'd like to point out in terms of for a highlighting purpose, and that you'll probably have more input in the future on, would be Section 3 on page 2, which covers privacy, privacy of the financial institution's records. And we also, by the way, have a in the letter to you, Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of amendments in that letter, proposed amendments in that letter, that deal with this section. But basically, what this is the current law in the banking code has a privacy requirement saying that customer information may not be disclosed unless they get the permission of the customer. And Gramm-Leach-Bliley is more broad than that. Under Gramm-Leach-Bliley, institutions are allowed to share non-public information with affiliates and to share them with non-affiliated third parties unless the customer opts out. So that's much broader. And we are not proposing to do that in Alaska. We never have been that expansive, and we're basically proposing that we keep the law as it currently is in Alaska. So that's one difference, and probably really the only difference I'm aware of between us and what Gramm-Leach-Bliley is allowing. And we can do that, by the way, because Gramm-Leach-Bliley also allows states to adopt a more restrictive privacy law. In our law, we have an opt-in rather than an opt-out. That's a term that you'll probably hear more about. The difference there is an opt-in, the customer actually has to agree to it. In an opt-out, the institution is able to disclose the information unless they get a specific denial of that request from the customer. The other section that I'm not going to talk on about every section, but the other section I'll mention here again that may spark some interest. We're proposing on section 11 on page 8. To remove the 17% cap on credit cards issued by state banks. And we proposed this for a number of reasons. First, the credit cards that are available in Alaska from national banks and other banks that operate in other states can be offered to Alaskans at any rate. They're not subject to the 17% cap. So the fact is that the only thing that the cap, the 17% cap does, is prohibit Alaska state banks from competing in the credit card market. That's essentially what it does. It doesn't really affect the interest rates that anybody pays on the credit cards they have. If you open up your wallet and look at the credit cards you have, my guess is they're from mostly national banks and out-of-state banks and their interest rates are probably in the 17 to 19% range, which is typical. It's a very competitive market, and we think the rates are best governed by competition in the market and not by statute. All you really do with a cap is, as I said, is limit the choices of consumers in that they can't get a credit card issued from a state bank that doesn't otherwise want to be in that business. To the extent that a state bank does issue a credit card, and remember, we're only talking about state banks here, not national banks. To the extent that a state bank does issue a credit card facing that limit of 17%, they're more likely to only issue credit cards to the very highest quality customers, and not generally to the public. So we see this as essentially a way for the Alaska state banks to compete in a market that they otherwise wouldn't be able to, and to provide services to clients who live here. And we don't see that proposal would have any impact on rates, which is very competitive anyway. The other section I'd point out is
just Okay, for the record, Senator Lehman is present. Mr. Lehman?
Thanks, that's all I needed. No,
Right.
not
I
really.
figured so. Go ahead,
Terry,
Mr. Lehman.
On that point, you said several times it's a very competitive market for credit cards, and yet interest rates in excess of 17% don't seem to me intuitively to indicate that the forces of competition have really driven that down to where the consumer benefits, you know, those consumers who don't pay off their balance. Is the reason the rates are so high is that, you know, so many of these cards are offered and the people who are picking them up are really people who maybe shouldn't be issued credit cards, and so then that's driving the costs up to where they have to keep the interest rates higher? Is that what's doing it?
Mr. Chairman, certainly even the you know, I can't give you a definitive statement as to why interest rates are as high as they are given other rates with prime rate or other treasury securities, for example. Certainly, what you point out is true, and that is while it's a competitive market in terms of price, which is the interest rate, and it's also a competitive market in terms of market share, and I think every one of us probably receives unsolicited credit card proposals in the mail all the time, and so there's all sorts of you know, ability to sign up for those things, and to the extent that you have people who default or anything else, you know, it's like any other business. The price you charge has to cover your total cost of that business, which would include defaults.
Yeah, I was going to point out, I probably get at least 3 to 5 a week of those requests. I just went through a stack of mail for the last 2 weeks when I was home this weekend, and seemed like I was, you know, costing so many of those. I'm
automatic.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry to interject.
Sure, that's okay.
Move on to an important
that's a, those are good questions. I usually throw those away without opening the envelopes myself.
Just be careful where you throw them.
That's true. Actually, I don't just throw. I tear them up and throw them away. And that's always a good recommendation. That's always a good recommendation for consumers out there, because
we could fill it in.
Somebody
for
could
you.
Fill it in for you, change the address, and sign up for you, and you'd never even know it until it's too late. So that's a good suggestion. The other section I'll mention is section 20 on page 11. This is the ATM section, which again changes the current law from requiring approval for placing ATMs, and changes that to requiring just a notice to us. In sections 26 through 38 that cover pages 12 through 16, these are sections that deal with branching into the state, and we're not changing any of the requirements for branching into the state, except under current law, we issue permits to national banks that want to branch into the state. And it doesn't seem to me that makes any sense, since we can't examine a national bank. So they, you know, so for example, when Wells Fargo came in and bought NBA, we actually had to issue a permit, and yet we don't have the authority to examine either NBA or Wells Fargo because they're national banks. And so if we never examined them before and we can never examine them afterwards, why should we issue them a permit? So the limitations of branching still hold, and that is that they can't establish a new bank. They can only buy an existing bank. And so all we're saying is just give us a notice. Send us a letter and tell us you're doing it, so we'll know you're in town. And those are the other sections. In the last pages, 20 to 24, deal with mutual savings banks and credit unions, and basically the changes in there are to try to put some of the directors, for example, the trustees, they call them, mutual savings banks, on the same basis as directors of banks, and also to treat credit unions in a similar fashion to banks in terms of charge cards and ATMs. And that's
remarks.
That's my quick overview, sir.
Questions, Senator Lehman?
I appreciate the overview. I'm going to request, at least through the chairman, that you have a sectional that maybe just identifies the section and what each section does. It appears to me the number of sections are just conforming, that are fairly, you know, the way drafting happens, just, you know, conforming amendments, but there are a few sections that would be handy, I think, for us to have a sectional.
Or Mr. Chairman,
we already have it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think, of course, if you want more, we can
I
always give
more.
It give you more.
I'll just read what you've provided.
It's in that gray
but
booklet.
And does it have also? It has why the suggestion was made, or why the proposed change.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, for sectional comments, we try to keep them really short, and so it may not have all the meat that you'd like in it. And if when you look at that, you still have questions about any proposal,
okay.
We'll certainly augment it.
You've provided. Thanks.
Senator Torgerson?
I have several questions, but first, maybe a general question. Who, I assume you met with the banking community with this?
Mr. Chairman, we met primarily early on in the drafting stage with state banks and state credit unions. We met just recently with members of the Bankers Association.
And that's
why we have the letter.
You've got a few amendments in here that was from that meeting. Does that bring them in conformity, in agreement with the bill?
Mr. Chairman, it brings us into conformity with the meeting that we had. I presume, based on what they told us at that meeting, they're still looking at provisions, and they may or may not have some other wording changes that may or may not be substantive. My personal opinion is I honestly don't believe there'll be some significant disagreements with the sections, with the potential exception of the privacy provision.
And then just maybe about five questions.
Go ahead.
Page two, just from my clarification, we have a financial instance. This is on line 15, under supervision of a court or an administrative agency. What are you referring to? What administrative agency?
Your department, Mr. Chairman, we would be one of those administrative agents.
We meaning who?
we being Bank and Securities Incorporated.
Now you scared me. Who's the others? If you'd have been the only one, are there others then?
Mr. Chairman, others might be the FDIC, perhaps.
Federal agency.
Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, some of the federal agencies.
Okay. On page three, can you, what is a premium finance company?
Mr. Chairman, and here I'll ask Attorney Luce to tell me if I give you the wrong definition, but a premium finance company is a company that finances insurance premiums, and they have to be licensed to do that in the state.
Okay, you're wording right after that, small loan companies, just exclude pawn shops? Aren't pawn shops loan companies?
Mr. Chairman, small loan companies are as defined under the Small Loans Act, which, as I recall, excludes pawn shops.
As I recall,
specifically exempt.
Okay, we just didn't have it in here. Okay. How many banks are we regulating here? What's our number in the state?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Torgerson, not as many as we used to. We have three state chartered commercial banks, one state chartered mutual savings bank, two state chartered credit unions, and then assorted small loan companies and.
You want to name them, or can you?
Sure. Name the banks?
Yeah, the three state banks, the one mutual, and the two credit unions.
State Bank, tell me if I'm wrong, First Bank of Ketchikan, North Rim, and Denali State Bank. The mutual is Mount McKinley. The credit unions are Credit Union 1 and North Country Credit Union.
Okay.
I should declare the conflict here already.
Well, go ahead and declare it if you want. I have the same concerns with Senator Lehman on taking off the 17%, but I might be convinced. We just put that on, I think, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, or adjusted it in any event. But that may be something that I'd like some discussion on at a future time. I don't want to take up the committee's time now. But on the bottom of page 9, where you have financial holding companies, it appears to me that you are maintaining veto power over the Federal Reserve System if they were to choose, if a person put in an application to be a holding company, and you want to see the application as soon as they put it in, you want to see all the correspondence that goes on back and forth between, and you want to see the final determination, I guess, before you approve it. I don't understand what you're doing in that paragraph.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Torgerson, in this paragraph actually is fairly friendly toward the financial holding companies. We're simply asking someone who's already a bank holding company and is applying to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve makes that determination for designation as a financial holding company, and thereby getting all the powers of a financial holding company. We're simply saying give us a notice, and Section 4 allows us 30 days after that Federal Reserve approval to deny it if there's any reason that we see to deny it, and the only basis we would have would be that it would be either a safety and soundness basis or it would be contrary to some other provision of state law. My guess is, in practice, it would probably be very rare that we would deny it.
But isn't that a backwards process where the Federal Reserve acknowledges them and you have 30 days to reject that? I mean, I've never seen state institutions having that power over a federal program.
Mr. Chairman, this isn't a state. These are state entities, and we're not controlling in any way whether or not a national entity is formed under the Federal Reserve. But on the other hand, we're certainly going to want to maintain state control of state entities, and that's the purpose of this.
But you're gonna have to work on me with that one, because I don't think that's what this says. But maybe it is. Just a couple other questions, and you can get back with us on these later. But the next section down on page 10, section 15, you have disposition of property not needed in the conduct of business, but all investments, regardless of how acquired. Now, would a foreclosure come under this?
Mr. Chairman, I may defer to Terry Lutz on this. I believe it would. Foreclosure would probably be
Why would you let them write off a disclosure? I don't know what your time limit is set by regulation for them to dispose of that, but I don't know why you'd authorize them to write it off if they had a foreclosure.
Mr.
But please identify the record, because we're off site and not everybody's here in Juneau listening. So
identify yourself.
For the record, Terry Lutz, I supervise the banking section for the Division of Banking Securities Corporations. Mr. Chairman, Senator Torgerson.
Can you get further up? Can you get to that mic? Because we have it off site here. We're not the only ones in the state. We're not alone, let's put it that way.
This basically hasn't changed. It's been in the banking code for some time. We don't want a financial institution to have a piece of property, say they wrote it off at $100,000, they foreclosed on it and they got a piece of property that's $100,000. It shouldn't be there for 20 years at $100,000. If it's there for that long, it's clearly not worth $100,000. Or it's bank property that's needed for banking business, in which case it needs to be classified differently, purchased by the bank.
So that it just has to do with
that's for reporting their net worth. Is that what this is getting down to? So they can't inflate their net worth by having a bunch of crap property on their books.
Yes.
Okay. And then one last question.
Okay, Senator Torkelson, go ahead.
This has to do with ATM machines, and on page 11, line 19, we talk about ATMs. The bank may go out and establish an ATM anywhere they want to. They got to notify the department in 30 days. They have to have a non-discriminatory basis for the use of that. But then you go on to say that they have to have a inner agreement with other institutions to pay a fair and equitable amount for the use of the machine. Aren't some of these, aren't there banks have exchanges where you don't pay anything? Some banks don't charge for the use of some ATMs?
Mr. Chairman.
They're owned by somebody else. This looks to me like we're making them pay for that exchange.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Torkelson, we're actually not changing language from current law. What this is simply saying is talking about the machines themselves, that if they have to be, they can be placed off premises, but if they are placed off premises, they would have to be available to the customers of other depository institutions, and that's also a clarifying amendment that we have in our letter, and would require an agreement between the institutions, not the customers using it. So it's really talking about the institutions agreeing how to pay for the cost of these ATMs to make them.
That doesn't necessarily mean it'd be a charge per transaction, which is what I was thinking.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
So it could be no charge to the customer.
Mr. Chairman, so that's correct.
Okay. All right.
And that's current law.
Further questions?
That's as far as I got.
Senator Davis?
No.
I have one, and then we'll from there we'll go to off-site and get the rest of the state first. Have you seen a letter from Credit Union One? And by the way, for the members of the committee, we've contacted the Alaska Bankers Association, the Alaska Mortgage Bankers, all 14 credit unions, as well as the department on this. So I think we had a pretty good process of contacting all those who are concerned about this bill. Question I have here, Credit Union One is making two suggestions. The one I'm really looking at is suggestion number two, section 50 AS 06 45060. Do you want to make a comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, with respect to that, the comment first, Credit Union One didn't raise that issue to my knowledge when we were discussing it with them, but they raise it now. We don't have any particular objection to that. You know, what it's talking about here is changing the dollar limits of certain loans to directors and certain other people in authority that have to be reviewed and approved by the board of directors. And I don't have, you know, we don't have any objection to that. They mentioned, Terry Lutz points out that they mention in their on page two that would give them parity with federal chartered credit unions, and to the extent that we generally agree that state banks and state credit unions should be on a level playing field with federal credit unions and national banks.
Any other questions?
Just one.
Mr. Torkelson.
I think you mentioned that you deviated from the Graham-Leach Act under the confidentiality clauses. Is that correct? That's reversed to what that act says. One is permissive and the other is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Torkelson, yes, it is correct. We deviated, though with permission of Graham-Leach by it. It specifically allows states to adopt more restrictive privacy.
Okay. is there any other areas in here that we deviate from the federal, from that law?
Mr. Chairman, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have that person left, right? Offsite?
There's
nobody online, statewide.
There's Anchorage is on, there's nobody there.
Okay. Let me know if there are. One more other question. Does this legislation affect international banks?
Mr. Chairman, nothing in this proposal changes the current requirements of international banks to get permission to branch here.
That concludes your testimony?
That concludes it.
Any other further questions of the witnesses?
Just one more. Do you have any more meetings scheduled with the Banking Association?
Mr. Chairman, we don't have anything else scheduled, but our door is always open, and we told them at the meeting we did have that we would be certainly happy to sit down with them anytime.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Nobody on site, right? Okay, we'll take anybody here in Juneau to testify? Hey, would you, do we have a sign-up sheet?
I gave it to you.
Okay. All right, go ahead and identify yourself for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Bell, and I am Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Alaska Pacific Bank, which is a small community bank headquartered in Juneau with offices in Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, Wrangell, Hoonah, and Yakutat. I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Bankers Association, which represents, at last count, 9 banks across the state, banks and savings institutions across the state, which includes both state and federally chartered institutions. While the Alaska Bankers Association is reviewing the entire bill, my testimony today really focuses today on Section 3, page 2, which is the confidentiality section. The proposed legislation would move this provision from its current location under the Alaska Banking Code, which is applicable only to state chartered institutions. It would move it into the administration section, where it would then apply to all institutions operating, financial institutions operating within the state. So that is a significant change. I want to point out that the privacy and confidentiality of customer information is not a new concept to banks. Banks already have internal policies and procedures that deal with safeguarding of customer information. And we believe that probably the biggest asset a bank can have is integrity. Our customers place their trust in us, and that's extremely important to us. As I know that you're aware, Graham Leach Bliley was very sweeping financial modernization legislation. It was passed last year. The privacy provision of that law contains some important new disclosure requirements and other requirements, like the opt-out requirements, that pertain to the sharing of non-public personal information with third parties. The rule is quite complicated, and in fact, the FDIC has just published on February 5th guidelines to assist banks with complying before the mandatory date of July 1st of 2001. So it's actually quite complicated. Also, all banks are under intense regulatory scrutiny right now as they work on their compliance and privacy programs. And in fact, the first round of examinations has already begun. My bank has already completed its first privacy exam by federal regulators. So it is a heavily monitored process. The Alaska Bankers Association supports the intent behind Senate Bill 66. We think it's important to bring state statutes into conformance with Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, and there are also some other provisions of the Act that I think are beneficial on behalf of this association. But our very preliminary review of the confidentiality provisions has disclosed what we feel are some inconsistencies between the state statutes as proposed and Graham-Leach-Bliley, and we find that there are additional restrictions in the state statute that don't appear in Graham-Leach-Bliley, and we find that at this point confusing and not necessarily in the customer's best interest, but we are looking at that. We really didn't have very much time to look at the bill before this hearing, and we are definitely undergoing a much more thorough analysis of not just the privacy section, but the entire bill. And representatives of the Alaska Bankers Association, myself included, had a very cordial meeting with Mr. Elder and Mr. Lutz last week. And we started a very good dialogue on several issues that we think need clarification. And we do intend to meet with them again as soon as we've completed our review. And that concludes my testimony, unless anyone has any
questions. Senator Torgerson?
When will your review be done?
I probably can't give you an exact date for that. It's probably, I believe there's another hearing scheduled for this bill in about 2 weeks or so. I would say we would know a lot more by then. I don't know if the analysis will be complete. Maybe within...
So you need 2-3 weeks? Is that what you're saying?
3 weeks would be better, yes.
Mr. Senator Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, that was going to be my question.
Yeah, that was my
more time. And I know you've had time to adapt to the federal law, and I assume there's regulations that have come down as a result of that, and maybe you haven't had a lot of time. And people looking at this probably know a lot more about this, certainly, than I do. Yet we're faced with having to deal with some of these decisions, and I just encourage you to keep moving on it and get information to us so we can
ASAP.
Take our actions based on good information.
Sure. And Mr. Chairman, Senator Lehman, one thing I could do is provide some copies of the FDIC's summary, because it is in you don't have to be a banker to understand it. It's in very readable language, and it does summarize important aspects of the bill. And it also, it will give you an understanding of what banks are already going through.
Go ahead and give it to my staff person.
Okay.
And we'll distribute it to them. Anything else as far as that's concerned. Any other questions? I had a question. Oh, you're not alone, because the Alaska Mortgage Bankers are also going to be weighing in here in the next few days. So I made a request to them last week, got a confirmation yesterday that they're going to send a letter to us. Hopefully sooner than you will, but you're stating you need about 2-3 weeks.
I would say that would be fair, yes.
Okay. We do have a 121-day session here now.
Right, I understand that. And obviously, if we the faster we can get it done, the better, and we will let you know as soon as we are finished.
Okay, anything else? Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other, no one online? Nobody there? Okay. Anybody here in Juneau? Okay. The committee chair is going to hold the bill. I'm going to probably give it a couple of weeks, and then we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, the committee members should look at this bill and bring in any suggestions they want, either an amendment form or a CS. Just let me know. I'll tackle it when the time comes, but I'll give it a couple of weeks, and then we'll see how it goes from there. This bill's got another two committee referral, so it's time's of the essence, according to the sponsors. Anyway, anything else before the committee? We're adjourned.